Support for WSJ comes from Comcast, committed to improving your customer service experience with two-hour appointment windows, including nights and weekends, because they should fit into your life, not the other way around. Learn more at Xfinity.com/service.
Apple's iPhone helped transform the way we live and work. It's also transformed Apple itself.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories without the noise.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Apple's iPhone turns 10 years old this month, and the company will release a 10th anniversary version of the phone this fall. The Wall Street Journal says that since 2007, the smartphone revolution, the iPhone unleashed, has changed the way we work and socialize, and it's transformed numerous industries. The Journal's Trip Mickle says the iPhone has also transformed Apple in ways that founder and visionary Steve Jobs could hardly have foreseen. Trip joins us from San Francisco. Trip, the way I read this is that Apple has gone from a scrappy innovator creating all sorts of great products to an industry behemoth that's essentially defined by the iPhone, one of the greatest selling products of all time.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really went from the underdog to the incumbent, and it did so in a dramatically short period of time. I mean, we're talking about a 10-year span in which it sold about 1.2 billion iPhones and generated about $740 billion in sales. And it's just remarkable. I mean, the type of business transformation that has to happen in order to achieve numbers like that is staggering.
I just think it's incredible the way society and culture have been transformed by it. I mean, everybody, it seems, owns an iPhone, and, you know, they've built their lives around it. And I think Apple is defined by it, essentially, no matter what other great products they've come out with. It's the iPhone and little else.
Yeah, and that was something we thought about as we looked to write about this 10-year anniversary was, you know, for a lot of everyday consumers, they think about how the iPhone has changed their lives, whether it's the conversation that you're not having at the dinner table or the interaction that you're having via social media or the Uber you're ordering. Everybody's very aware of what the iPhone has done to change their own lives. I think oftentimes we don't think about how much it changed Apple as a company as well. And so we looked at trying to peel back the onion on that and asking, you know, what difference did it make for the company?
Isn't Apple's biggest problem that the iPhone, with all that it has spawned, has basically overshadowed everything else about the company? It's all about the iPhone, basically, and the company's success rises or falls on that single device. And as such, it has to somehow keep making each successive iPhone better than the last?
Yes, absolutely. It accounts for about two-thirds of Apple sales. And even Tim Cook, as recently as last year, when Apple saw revenues decline on the iPhone for the first time and units actually decline as well, in the middle of that drop, analysts asked him, what do you do to regain market share? And Tim Cook said, we have to keep innovating like crazy with the smartphone itself. So you know, they're very aware that this is kind of the engine that makes the whole thing go, and that's challenging, right? You got to keep consumers interested in order to keep generating the sales that have made Apple as big as it is.
I'm speaking with Trip Mickle of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to What's News.
This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Trip, it seems like there is a heck of a lot riding on the 10th anniversary iPhone that's coming out this fall. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a lot of reviewers found the iPhone 7 that came out last fall lacking for two reasons. And one of those is hugely important to Apple, and that's that the phone continued to look the same as its predecessors. And that's proved problematic, namely in China, where the iPhone is a bit more of a status symbol. And if it looks the same as previous models, Chinese consumers are less inclined to purchase it. So we've really seen sales cool in China in a way that they hadn't previously. And so there's a lot of anticipation that Apple will change the way the iPhone looks. And They'll do that by adding some new technology, such as organic light emitting displays that will allow the iPhone, according to analysts, to be longer and thinner. So it's not quite as big as the big 7 Plus that we've seen in years past. And if they do that, then that could reignite sales in China and prove to be really, really beneficial for the company's bottom line.
Trip, let's talk about other products and services. Can Apple realistically count on apps and apps-related services? It's the second largest business by revenue. Can it count on apps to take up some of the slack if iPhone sales slump?
That's its plan. I mean, that's its business model. Tim Cook announced a goal earlier this year of doubling its services business, which is roughly a $24 billion business. A lot of that comes through app sales and then subscriptions to services that are sold in the App Store, like Netflix, or even, say, you get a subscription to the Washington Post. Apple also takes a small percentage of that subscription fee.
Well, there's also Apple Pay and,
exactly,
you know, the music subscription service.
Exactly. And you know, Apple's really banking on that becoming a bigger piece of the puzzle for them. And I think it's an open question as to whether or not they're able to achieve it, because it really all comes back to the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have to continue to sell the iPhone in order to continue to keep selling those services. So they're tied together, and really the latter, the service sales, don't come without the former, the iPhone sales. So they've got to keep delivering on the iPhone innovations that they're expected to deliver on.
Do you think Apple missed the boat on other devices like the Amazon Echo, you know, the smart speakers?
I think people and critics have raised that question and at least argued that Apple missed the opportunity to own the home, if you will.
Yeah.
Whether that was by moving more quickly into internet-connected devices. The Nest thermostat, for example, came out a few years before Apple created a software platform that allowed companies to develop thermostats that you could control with your iPhone. And the same could be said for the Echo. I mean, Apple just announced its speaker system for the home, its smart speaker, and that's not going to be available till December. I mean, that's roughly 3 years after the Echo came to market.
Yeah.
So it's got ground to make up on. Now, Apple does have advantages in that Siri is in far more countries and knows far more languages than any other competitor in the voice assistant world. And we'll see if Apple can use that to its advantage.
Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle reporting from San Francisco. Trip, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Ambition comes with earbuds. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.